You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network, taking you through your Week 13 matchups. Extremely important for a lot of people out there. We'll try and, for those of you asking questions, we'll try and get those in. If you want to give us a call, feel free, 844. That's a bad start to the hour. 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. And hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. But George, obviously we kicked it off on Thursday night with Washington taking on the Cowboys. Washington was kind of a mess. Fumbles and interceptions and special teams touchdowns, a 13 men on the field penalty. I just kind of thought that was the story of the game, to go along with Alfred Morris being able to control the clock and 127 yards on the ground.
Yeah, I think it's, what you said is correct. Some could argue Washington more lost that game than Dallas won the game. Dallas sort of gets back on track here. I guess some hope for the rest of the season. We were talking about the Packers earlier, Cowboys. Both teams would need to win out, get the 10. I truly think a 10-win team is not going to make the playoffs in the NFC this season, just the way it's broken down. So
starting to look that way, yeah.
It may be more than one if Dallas or Green Bay can pull it off. Because I think Atlanta and or Carolina and or Seattle, they could all be in the same boat here. Detroit, we got to throw in there as well. We're sort of forgetting about the Lions here, counting them out already, mainly because their schedule is a little tougher than the others.
Yeah, they're 6-5 right now. They're on the outside looking in. You know what's funny is that, look, I think we can look at the Seahawks and know that they have some problems. Obviously, missing defenders and whatnot. They're only a game behind the Rams. So that's the funny part. The Rams are kind of the darlings of the NFC. The Seahawks are only a game behind. The problem is the Seahawks have to play the Eagles this week. Then they go to Jacksonville. Then they play the Rams. Then they go to Dallas and Arizona. So they finish up with a couple of easier games. But Seattle has it all laid out in front of them. It's just a tough road.
It is. And listen, the Rams' schedule is not all that great either. But they got to play, you mentioned Philadelphia, Seattle, Tennessee, weeks 14, 15, 16. You know, they're sandwiched there by Arizona and San Fran, two games they should be able to win. But, you know, that Philadelphia game's in Philly, that's a loss. If Seattle can beat them at home.
Right. Like, if Seattle goes 3-2, and the Rams could go 2-3.
The Rams could even go 2-3. I mean, they could. I mean, if Arizona could possibly pull out a win, I doubt it. But that's what they need to have. The problem is, you know, what I don't know Seattle can do. What we want them to do. I don't know if Seattle can beat Philadelphia on Monday night. I have severe doubts about this. I mean, how many more magic tricks can Russell Wilson perform here, where he's running around for his life back there making
it's
plays?
It's a one-man show. It's a total one-man show. And it doesn't even matter that whether he's freelancing or not. He just has to at this point. They can't block.
The only game from now to the rest of the season I can see them definitely winning is the Arizona game, where at least right. The Rams, we see them winning two games. The Rams are ahead right now. That's why they have to be the favorite.
And if they went 4-1, it wouldn't stun you. So we'll come back. We'll talk about the game specifically after this. It's Mike and George.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Let's get to the games, George. This is what we want to talk about. By the way, how about a quick baseball aside? Aaron Boone, New York Yankees manager. What do you think?
Certainly a surprise. It's a gutsy move by Brian Cashman, sort of an all-in move here. You hire someone without any experience whatsoever. straight from the booth, from the players to the booth to the to manage the New York Yankees. So it was surprising. I thought Hensley Mullins would have been the guy, mainly because of he's been a bench coach for the Giants, speaks Spanish, speaks Japanese. So I thought that was a would have been a boost to him, former Yankee as well. So surprise, Boone has his work cut out for him because there's no real safety net here. I really, out of the people they interviewed, I thought he was the third choice. I thought even, I would have Rob Thompson, the third base coach. I thought he was the safe choice here. I thought Boone is the exact opposite of Rob Thompson. Somebody who he must have wowed them in the interview. I mean, really must have really wowed them here. But let's face it, Mike, the team is set. I mean, it's going to be hard to screw this team up.
Yeah. Yeah, you just need some pitching, right? You just need to get good pitching, and this team could win a World Series. Like, that's just what it comes down to. The lineup will be fine. The lineup will take care of itself through slumps and whatever else. There's enough talent on this lineup that is not something you can complain about, barring catastrophic injuries for the next several seasons at least. I actually thought it was going to be Boone. A buddy of mine was really following this closely, and he came up with a line of reasoning that I completely bought into. And it kind of made sense. And reading some pieces about Boone and, you know, the media process that he had to go through, he kind of aced that. I just think I'm okay with the choice. Here's what my general thought process about fans, which in this instance will consider ourselves fans, and coaching changes. Nobody knows anything. You weren't a part of the interview. You don't know if it's going to work out. You really hope it does. You might have a feeling one way or the other, but I never have any idea how it's going to work out. Some guys seem like good fits, and then it falls apart. Some guys don't seem like good fits, and they're off to the races, and they're, you know, winning divisional titles and whatnot. So, as a Yankees fan, I hope it works out. And I like Aaron Boone personally. I like him in the booth, but we'll see if that translates to him doing a great managerial job. So, that's it for the baseball. Let's get on to the games of the day. And the first one we're going to talk about is Vikings at Falcons. So, big matchup here. You mentioned Case Keenum is in your top 12 for the week. So they've won seven consecutive games at the Vikings, including last week's victory over the Vikings. They have second best record at 9-2, right behind Philly. He posted a 114 passer rating in November, George, the third highest mark in the league during the month.
It's really incredible when you think about it. I mean, it truly is. I like Osnat. He's played well. He's got good receivers, Diggs, Thielen. Rudolph had a big game last week. The running game is at least serviceable with Murray and McKinnon here. Trufant's out. I mean, it's in a dome, so it's going to be a fast track. I like Keenum this week. I think I can't see how Atlanta holds him to less than 24 points.
That's probably a good guess. Let me see what the total is on that. The total on that game is 47.5. Atlanta, a 3-point favorite. So, obviously, you know, Vegas, you get 3 points at home, basically. So, they basically think these teams are even. Another stat, Adam Thielen, 70 catches for 1,005 yards this season. He joins Randy Moss as the only Vikings to have at least 70 receptions and 1,000 receiving yards in the team's first 11 games of the season. So, obviously, Thielen has lived up to the draft hype that he was receiving.
Yeah, Tony Sincato and I discussed on Monday night on Fantasy First look who our fantasy MVP was. And for me, it's Adam Thielen. Because when I look at fantasy MVP, I'm looking at someone who was drafted late or not drafted at all, came on to have a stunning season. And that fits Thielen to a T. So in my mind, he is the fantasy MVP, having a great season here. Obviously, he has the trust of pretty much anybody who gets behind center from Minnesota. He works out of the slot, not the outside. So he generally doesn't have to worry about top cornerbacks. I think Thielen's been great this year.
You think Matt Ryan has cured these issues moving forward? It's obviously a tough matchup against Minnesota.
Well, I mean, Xavier Rhodes has shut down Julio Jones in the past. So this is going to be a tough game here. This is a game where, if I was a Devonta Freeman owner, and I am in a couple of leagues, I wouldn't mind him missing another game. Because you're sort of forced to start him here.
Yeah, I have
and
to play
I
him.
Just don't know if he's going to do all that well. So I have some issues.
Yeah, I unfortunately, I have Devonta Freeman in a must-win scenario. I have Tevin Coleman in a league where I sort of have to play him. I benched Alfred Morris in favor of Tevin Coleman. That's obviously not going to work out, but it is what it is. So we'll see. Big game. I'm looking forward to watching that one. So next game on the slate, Panthers at the Saints. mentioned earlier, Charles Johnson is out. Outside of that, I think both teams are – well, what was the – Marshawn Lattimore, I think he's questionable. So I think he actually could play this week, George, because we talked last week about the, how the Saints were going to be hurt against the Rams with some of those injuries. Cooper Kupp had a good game. Sammy Watkins obviously scored a touchdown. So I think they were impacted by those defensive back injuries, but they're at least getting potentially getting Lattimore back this week.
Yeah, Marshawn Lattimore, you're right. He has the ankle injury. He is questionable, which brings up a couple of problems here. What if he's not at full strength? What if he can't cut? You know, what if he can't make it the whole game here? So I'm not going to shy away from Devin Funchess here. I mean, I worry about Funchess anyway because of Cam Newton's accuracy. And the thumb is better, but it's not perfect yet, so that could lead to some issues as well. I mean, let's face it, what did Cam go, 11 for 26 last week or something silly like that? So, you know, Cam's accuracy is a problem even when healthy, more or less when the thumb's bothering him. Funchess, though, in this game, I got to start. I mean, I think points are going to be put up on the board here on both sides, so I'm still going Funchess regardless of what Lattimore can do. But his injury just makes me feel, I think his injury and Cam's injury sort of maybe you hope it cancels each other out so you get a normal game from Funchess.
This is a 48 total, the second highest on the board behind only New England Buffalo, which is a 48.5. So points are expected. New Orleans, a 4.5-point favorite at home. You know, George, only two players gained at least 400 scrimmage yards and scored four touchdowns in the most. Let me start this over. In November, only two players in the NFL have gained at least 400 scrimmage yards and scored four touchdowns. Both of them are the Saints running backs, Kamara and Ingram. Pretty incredible month for those guys.
Yeah, that's putting it nicely. And you're starting both no matter what. So that really goes without saying right now. I think they're both top five running backs in the NFL, fantasy running backs in the NFL. So you're starting both. You don't even think about it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think where the Panthers are versus opposing running backs. I know they've been good. I don't know if they're right at the top of the league.
Doesn't matter. You're starting.
Yeah, I guess it's all
you'd have to have such incredible running back depth to be able to sit.
You're starting both. You're just starting both. Like,
it's not a great matchup, no, but you're still starting.
They're fourth best against opposing running backs. So
what are you going to do, put in Woodhead for Ingram? Christ.
No. You're not backing anybody. You're not benching anybody there. So next game on the slate, Eagles at the Seahawks. That game is the Sunday night game. God, I need the Seahawks to win. I had the Seahawks over 10.5, and the Atlanta Washington double dip with both losing both of those games really put a damper on that over 10.5. They need to win four of their last five. I don't think they're going to get it, but that Washington game was the real killer because they absolutely should have won that game. In fact, they should have kneeled the ball at the end instead of going into the end zone and not give the ball back to Washington. But I digress. That game was like 3 weeks ago. So here we are. They got to beat Philly in order to keep it rolling. 47.5 total here. So points expected in Seattle on Sunday night.
Well, we know Seattle is no Richard Sherman, no Cam Chancellor. You know, Earl Thomas is still banged up a little bit. That secondary is going to have its issues. So unless that defensive line can really put pressure on Carson Wentz, I don't see how they're stopping the passing game all that much. You know, I think they'll do a good job in the running game. You know, Jay Ajayi is not someone I'm dying to start this week, or Corey Clement, LeGarrette Blount, Connor Bonner, anybody. You know, Wilbert Montgomery could come out of retirement. I don't want to start him this week either. We just don't know how the Philadelphia Eagles are going to use. I always try and do that for you, Mike.
Harold Cole. Well,
that's a wide receiver, though. Running backs.
I know. All right.
Harold Cormack was very, very tall.
He was a very tall man.
So yeah, I'm confident in what Carson Wentz in the passing game, running game. I'll have some more issues with. My problem is going to be Philadelphia, Seattle. I mean, how many more times can we expect Russell Wilson to run around there and make plays? Philadelphia has a good defense. It's a good. Their outside cornerbacks can have some issues there. So maybe if Russell can buy some time, can make some plays behind the line, that he can find some big plays down to Baldwin, Richardson, Lockett, whatever it might be. But in the end, I think Philadelphia pulls this out. But it's a good test for Carson Wentz on the road, hostile environment.
The crazy thing about the Eagles this year, you're obviously thrilled if you drafted Wentz, right? Could be league MVP. He's another guy could be fantasy MVP because you were getting him late. Zach Ertz has had a really good year, right? 55 catches, 639, 7 touchdowns. He's only had one bad game. He's only had one game where he's like out of the tight end one conversation. But outside of that, Alshon Jeffrey's got a bunch of touchdowns. Outside of that, no, like, huge performances. Aguilar
and the ball around.
Yeah, it's an odd thing to look at because typically when a quarterback is having that much success, he's attached at the hip to one player. You could say it's Ertz, and he's been really good, but none of the wide receivers have blown up. They just get into the end zone a lot. We'll come back. We'll talk more games after this. It's Mike and George.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You know, this season, we've been engaged in a contest each and every week, a DFS contest. And the way to find this DFS contest is to go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. You can also find it at dailyroto.com/DKMS. And what you're going to do when you go there is you're going to be able to sign up to be a bone marrow donor and find out a little bit more about DKMS and their cause. And it's a mission to fight blood cancer. So go to that URL, rotoexperts.com/DKMS, and you can be a bone marrow donor. You can make a donation and help us spread the word about the DKMS cause. And once you're at that URL, you're going to find a link there to Fantasy Draft, or a third partner in this. And that link will take you right to a free DFS contest that we have each and every week. About 800 to 1,000 people have been entering it each and every week. And if you win a particular week in any of the first 16 weeks, and we're running out of time here, you get into the week 17 grand prize contest. And the winner of that grand prize contest in week 17 gets what, George?
Michael Blewett. They get two tickets to the big game.
So formal. So yes, they get two tickets to the big game. And I will say this, George, I had a good showing last week. It doesn't get me anything because I didn't win. And the guy that won had Antonio Brown and Julio Jones in the lineup. He really crushed it. But I was in 14th place at the end of the 4 o'clocks. I had a really good lineup. I had Matt Ryan. I had Julio. I had Kamara. So I had a bunch of guys, and it encouraged me. So I'm gonna keep having fun with it. I'm going to keep playing, see if I can get myself into the grand prize contest in week 17. But please do that. Go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. You'll find more about the DKMS cause and be able to join that free DFS contest. So I had fun last week. It's fun to be at the top of the leaderboard in one of those things. I knew it was fleeting, and I knew I wasn't going to win because I didn't have anybody in the Steelers-Packers game, but nonetheless, fun to see be up there right at the top of a leaderboard like that. I wish I had put it in some cash down and some other tournament lineups with similar results, but to no avail.
Yeah, I think last week might have been my best DFS week of the season as I banked on the Steelers. I think I had pretty much all of them as far as Antonio Brown, Ben, and who am I leaving out there? Oh, Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell.
I had a nice week. Thank you to your Steelers.
Yes. So I'll give you a little quick anecdote about I was going up against Evan Silva. Evan Silva's a really good he's at Evan Silva on Twitter, really good fantasy writer, I believe he's for Roto World. And he and I have played we're in a really competitive league, Sirius XM Invitational League. The highest scoring team is John Lobb, Gridiron Scholars. He's been on this show. He's in 11th place out of 12. He's the highest scoring team. It's so jumbled. There's so much parity in the league. I've been a victim of it because I'm in 10th place at 5-7, despite having outscored several people in front of me. I played Evan Silva twice this year. I lost in week one by 0.3 points, and I lost him the other night by 12. And the irony of that is that he had Antonio Brown, I had Le'Veon Bell. So when the Steelers got down to the 2-yard line there in the fourth quarter, I was like, boom, we're in business. We just run it in here, get another 6.2 points, and I'm good to go. They threw it to Brown, and it swung the game. It was right there. It was that decision, and that ended my season, basically. It was fun to kind of track, but obviously frustrating as a fantasy player. So I'm sure people were in a similar kind of position, but the razor thin margin in that league is unlike most leagues I've ever been in.
Yeah, listen, anybody's been playing fantasy for a while, we all have our horror stories about how we didn't make the playoffs and how we got eliminated. It's like getting bad beats in poker. It's, you know, yep. We all have them. It's you know, I can remember being in leagues. This is why I prefer leagues. I prefer the leagues that have one of two formats. One, you know, generally the 12-team league, top 16s make the playoffs. The last team to make the playoffs, regardless, the record doesn't matter, is the team that has the most points that normally wouldn't get in. Yeah, so in other words, team 6 through 12, whoever has the most points. This way, the unlucky team throughout the year still gets in. So that's what I prefer there. As for another league I like, and this one I don't play in, but I would really like to, is that you play two games each week. You know, if I'm playing Mike Blewett, yes. If I beat Mike, I get a win. If I lose, I obviously get a loss. But also, the top six scoring teams that week get a win. Bottom six get a loss. This way, once again, take sort of the luck factor out of it a little bit. Because I've played it more than once over the years where I've been the leading scorer, yet haven't made the playoffs. I was in a league a couple of years ago. It was my home league, actually. I was the second leading scorer. Buddy was obviously the leading scorer. Neither one of us made the playoffs. And that's almost been unheard of to me, to have a top two leading scorers not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I kind of like it. You know, if you're going to go first five by record and the final playoff spot goes to the remaining team with the highest score as opposed to the guy with the sixth best winning percentage, I'm okay with that. I think that makes sense to me. So let's get back to the games. And if you want to hit us up with any kind of crazy, weird stories like that, feel free at FNTSY Radio. So Rams at Arizona is the next one I wanted to talk about. Rams have won five of their last six. They're averaging 29.9 points per game, second best mark in the NFL. Todd Gurley, obviously, you want to talk fantasy MVPs. Granted, he was a second round pick in a lot of leagues, but Todd Gurley has bounced back in the biggest of ways. And he's going up against an Arizona Cardinals team, which has been kind of feisty. You had the Blaine Gabbert revenge game last week, and he exacted his revenge. And by the way, he looked fired up about it. If you saw the end of that game, that was a real revenge game for Gabbert. We joke about it, but that was a legit revenge game for Gabbert. He was pumped.
Yeah, he was. And the Jaguars defense, really the second, they played soft in the fourth quarter. I mean, they would lay out the receiver. It was weird. Didn't make any sense. They weren't pressuring these guys. So that was an amazing catch
by DJ Foster, too, to get them in field goal range.
It was, but it looked like almost Jacksonville. It was just a strange game. Almost like a game that didn't mean anything to Jacksonville, but obviously it did. So I didn't like the way they played that.
So, yeah, the 57-yard field goal was a bomb from Phil Dawson to get them to win. But in any event, you have you have Blake Bortles now. Sorry, I'm getting them all confused. So you have Jared Goff going on the road now to Arizona, where Blake Bortles just wasn't able to do it last week despite his two rushing touchdowns. So what do you think here? I mean, the Rams got a little bit of a comeuppance when they went to Minnesota a couple of weeks ago. This Arizona team isn't the Arizona team that it was at the start of the year. But like I said, they're playing feisty. They still got plenty of defensive talent there. Can they mix it up enough here, or does Gurley just control this clock and bleed them out?
Yeah, I would assume that's a pretty good situation. What's going to happen here? I think Gurley's been he's not the fantasy MVP for me, Mike. I think some people, he could be the NFL MVP, but not the fantasy MVP. He was drafted in the second round. So hard for me to put that guy as in the fantasy MVP when you're pretty much doing what we wanted you to do, maybe a little better, but not demonstrably better. So I think this game plays out pretty much the way you said. With Arizona, it's all about Patrick Peterson. I do not want Sammy Watkins starting this week. I think it's another Cooper Kupp game. You can even talk to Josh
Woods.
Reynolds.
Yeah, those guys, those Chad Williams and Josh Reynolds and those guys that were deep waiver wire bets actually paid off last week. With Robert Woods out, you may be looking at that again, as George says. So a tough one for Robert Woods owners. You know, he was just hitting his stride, and now he's been out for multiple weeks.
Yeah, now they're looking at maybe week 14, they're saying he might come back, which is obviously a problem for fantasy. It was week 15, I should say, because are you going to be able to trust him his first game back now? And we will discuss this more when we know he's going to come back. But so that's an issue there as well. But listen, I could be talking to Josh Reynolds because, listen, we know Peterson's going to shut down more than likely Watkins. And that leaves everybody else pretty much, hey, you know, do whatever you want to do. We can shut down one guy, but the other guy's going to have field days for you. So Reynolds in a deeper league, I can see it.
And DJ Foster filling in for Adrian Peterson, who's a game time decision. You like we said earlier, he's a running back, so it may be somebody that you have to use, but I don't think you have a ton of confidence in using him.
No, like I said, running back's a little more tricky because you may not have the depth on your roster, and there are some tough running back decisions to make this week. As far as even if Peterson plays, I don't love him. But Foster, no, I'm not likely to start him, Mike. I'd have to be really, really desperate. I mean, I'd have to have guys like Peterson on my team, Doug Martin on my team, and I just got screwed all over the place to go Foster.
Ricky Seals-Jones with 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. How about that, George? You want to talk about coming out of nowhere. Ricky Seals-Jones, tight end for the Cardinals, is a tight end one this first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, this seems to be where Garrett had a lot of practice time with him, right? Both backups, so yeah. Both didn't go with the first team, so they had a lot of work in. He trusts him, knows where he's going to be. Listen, he's right around that top 12 tight end. So if you need a tight end, I can see it. I would start Ricky Seals-Jones over Greg Olsen.
Yeah, I think that says everything you need to know. So we'll talk. We'll keep going through the games. Steelers at Bengals. That is the Monday night game. I'm worried about this one as a Steelers fan. These games are always nasty between these two teams. I think the Steelers have played really well, obviously, overall this year, but played down to the Packers. Do they play down to Cincinnati this week on the road? They're a 5-point favorite on the road, 43.5 total. Ben looking better, and obviously you have no worries about Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, but does Juju Smith-Schuster coming back into the mix, does he have any value?
Probably not. It's a road game. I've been down this road before. Fool me one, shame on you. Fool me 10 times, shame on me. Steelers on the road, it's Bell and Brown, that's it. I'm not going any further.
And how about the Bengals? It's Joe Mixon finally showed us his level of talent and delivered from a fantasy standpoint. It wasn't just a smattering. You got a really good game out of Joe Mixon. You think he could do a repeat performance here against Pittsburgh?
No, unlikely. I think he'll need a touchdown to be a fantasy worthy here. Steelers are, I think they'll rebound from the poor defense they played here. You're likely still starting Mixon. Once again, I don't know if you have better on your roster than him, but I don't see him having the big fantasy day the past couple of weeks that he's had here. If he gets into the end zone, he'll have a serviceable day. If not, yeah, I think you're looking at 4 to 6, maybe 7, 8 points.
I just would like the Steelers to play the Pats with something on the line. I get the impression that they might dump one before they get to play the Patriots, and then it's all over but the crying for the home field advantage. So come back. We'll keep talking games after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Where do we go next, George? You want to talk? Let's talk Lions-Ravens, because that seems to be a game that I'm getting a bunch of questions about. Amir Abdullah is banged up. Not that you're betting on the Lions running game. If you're betting on the Lions running game in Week 13 to make the playoffs, you got some issues. But the Alex Collins, Danny Woodhead, Javoris Allen thing has come up a lot and some questions that I'm getting, and a lot of people are worried about Golden Tate because it's not a good matchup.
No, listen, I don't know if it's a good matchup for anybody in this game. Yeah. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, sort of a, where they're just more defense than offense here. You look at the Lions here, yeah, I'm worried about Tate. I'm worried about Marvin Jones. Don't like either one this week. The running game, no. Maybe Theo Riddick can catch a couple of passes out of the backfield. But it's a game, Mike, out of those guys I just named, I'd probably be happy with 10 points. I could possibly get 10. It's a PPR league, too. I take that and run. I want double-digit points here. Anything more is just is gravy for me.
Oh, man, this is so discouraging because I have Collins and Tate that I'm playing in a must-win league. The team just hasn't worked out. I had David Johnson and Dalvin Cook and Pierre Garçon. So, needless to say, I've been trying to rifle through waiver wires to build it back up. But I'm teetering on the outside. I'm currently in the playoffs. If I lose, I'll be out though. So, I understand. There's going to be a lot of those questions. How do you think that backfield plays out with Baltimore though? I kind of like Collins.
It's a nightmare.
But I don't. I mean, it's the worst case scenario, right?
It's a three-headed monster. I mean, Collins is the guy you want. I mean, it's. I think he's the guy they've run, and they gave him the ball at the end zone now too. So that's always a good thing there. Woodhead hasn't been used like we thought he would. Is he 100% healthy yet? Are they just still easing him in? And now you throw Javorius Allen, which is really just another Danny Woodhead. I mean, it's not good. If I was drafting today, it'd be Collins, Woodhead, Allen. But I don't say that with any confidence. The reason is because that could change by a quarter. If things aren't working well for Collins early on, they might throw the ball more to the backside of the backfield and not use them as much. So I don't really love any of these guys here, but if I'm drafting, it's Collins first.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I don't want people to get carried away because Buck Allen did score a touchdown. Does he not go by Buck anymore? Anyway, Javorius Allen. He had 5 carries for 15 yards, and he scored a touchdown the other night on Monday night, but he only played 15 of 67 snaps. So you could say one way or the other. You could say, yeah, he's taking away 15 snaps. I get it, but, you know, he's a part of the offense. I'll just say he's not taking a huge chunk of the snaps away. And if he becomes a touchdown vulture, well, then that's the worst possible scenario. I don't think that's going to be the case. I'm with George on the rankings, Collins, Woodhead, and Javorius Allen. So on the Lions side of things, we talked about Tate, Marvin Jones, also a tough matchup. They've been great against the pass, the Ravens had, against opposing wide receivers. The only hole in their pass defense is against tight ends. And if you want to bet on Eric Ebron, be my guest. Keep moving on. One player specifically wanted to talk about there. Anyway, we'll move on. We'll go to Pats, Bills, Patriots, business as usual. Deion Lewis, your top guy over Rex Burkhead, or what do you think of that Patriots backfield moving forward?
Yeah, Belichick has decided to make Deion Lewis a All-Pro again. That's really what it comes down to. It's whoever Belichick wants to make look good. You know, it's Deion Lewis 1 week, Burkhead the next, you know, with James White, I think will be in play eventually. But same situation here, yes. Deion Lewis, if I had both Lewis and Burkhead, can only start one, I'm starting Lewis.
And the wide receiver situation, we talked about Chris Hogan being out yet again with the shoulder injury. You have Danny Amendola. He has a great game 2 weeks ago, 8 for 66 and a touchdown. He follows it up with a 1 for 15, which I started him in one league, and he got the 1 for 15.
I started him in a league as well with the 1 for 15. Thank you so much. That's the way Amendola is, right?
Yep.
I mean, this really shouldn't come as a big shock. It is a possibility every time. So I got lucky. The league I did start Amendola, I still won. So yay for me. But I said you can't be surprised by that. You just can't be. Amendola could have been 8 for 68 and a touchdown anytime. But yes, he's going to have some bombs as well, 1 for 15. You just don't know who is a part of the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady game plan from game to game.
How about the Buffalo scenario? They'll obviously scheme to try and take McCoy out. Is Tyrod Taylor, you know, who are your main targets here? What are you even looking at here with Kelvin Benjamin out? Zay Jones sees the touchdown last week. He can be encouraged, but it's a 3-catch-for-33-yard performance. I'm not terribly excited about it. I guess you could say in his last three games he's played, he's had double-digit performances.
He's playing better, so I guess depending on how you want to define the word encouraged, sure, you could be encouraged by that. He is playing better. Am I starting him tomorrow? Would he get some flex consideration? Sure. But, I mean, I of course we all agree that they're going to try and take McCoy out. That's what Belichick does. No Kelvin Benjamin, so someone has to catch the ball there. Jones would seem to be the next likely candidate there. But Belichick knows this, too. So he's going to get a lot of defensive coverage in the secondary. He's a flex play at best.
Okay, let's talk about the game that everybody's waiting on. It's the marquee matchup of the week, George. The San Francisco Niners going to Chicago, and Jimmy Garoppolo gets the start. Jimmy G's the next coming, the next great All-Pro, the next great. You're going to start him in a two-quarterback league?
It's the Dynasty League that we play in. So it's my choice. What I said earlier, Garoppolo or Derek Carr. I mean, I'm having a tough time wanting to start Derek Carr with Seth Roberts and Cordarrelle Patterson at wide receiver here. You know, at least Garoppolo has a great matchup against Chicago. You know, granted, his receivers are even worse. I mean, can anybody name the second receiver there? I mean, anyone, please? So I get it. But, I mean, listen, I think I'm probably done either way here. My team has a lot of injury issues. So maybe the decision isn't as hard as it should be.
That's also a really deep league where he's one of 20 starters that you have to submit to a lineup. So
my
quarterback position. Yeah, the quarterback position isn't as valuable in that league as you see in some others. So, I think it's a fair point to make about, you know, who is he even throwing to. But, you know, threw a nice touchdown pass the other day. He's got a sweet matchup here. Maybe Carlos Hyde gets a little bit of work done here with Jimmy throwing him some swing passes. So maybe get that going. But, the Marquise Goodwin-Trent Taylor duo is not really something to be excited about.
I think the receivers on both of the. I mean, this has to be one of the worst games ever for wide receivers, doesn't it? I mean,
Dontrell Inman
and Kendall Wright. I mean, God, not one anywhere near close to fantasy worthy wide receiver. Think about that. When was the last time we had a game like this between two teams that truly don't have a fantasy worthy wide receiver? Stumped you. See, never. It's not easy to find. It's just like, wow. So, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, maybe I stick a Garoppolo. Maybe I go the safe route, which is Carr and hope maybe Jared Cook has a big day. Lord knows the Giants have issues with their tight ends, covering tight ends. So, I don't know. But right now, I think I do have Garoppolo in my lineup, but that could easily be changed.
Here's the question, the million-dollar question for this game. It's really important. A lot on the line here. Who has a better game, Jimmy Garoppolo or Mitch Trubisky? Better fantasy game.
I'm going to go Garoppolo because I think Chicago will try to run the ball a whole bunch with Jordan Howard, this week.
Good matchup, finally. Texans and Titans. We mentioned Will Fuller is out and DeAndre Hopkins. The targets continue. The onslaught of targets from Tom Savage continues. But, you know, it was looking pretty grim there a couple of weeks ago with Tom Savage, but at least, I don't know. I don't know what to say at this point. Houston has suffered significant injuries. You know, the Niners actually have the most players on IR in the league, George?
I did not know that.
Yeah, as if they didn't have enough problems with a talent pool. They have the most players on IR of any team in the league. We talk about some other teams that have been pretty banged up. I think Houston's had obviously very high-profile injuries to their quarterback and to their star defensive players. And Tom Savage pulling off a four-point performance the other night with three turnovers is not what you were looking for. You got some encouragement out of the Arizona game, and then he's right back to fantasy irrelevance. So, I don't know what to say. It's DeAndre Hopkins, and that's it, right?
Pro Lamar Miller, I guess, would be in play here and here as well. But, yeah, it's pretty much DeAndre Hopkins or bust here in this game. Is that shocking? Isn't that the way it's always going to be? I also wonder, eventually, if they're going to have to move away from Savage with all these turnovers he's making.
And then go TJ. Who's the third there?
TJ Yates, baby!
Yeah, I thought it was TJ Yates. The Titans running backs are top 10 against opposing running backs, so it's not a great matchup for Miller. But as George said earlier in the show, you know, you're probably out of legitimate options at running back. He is a starter. He does see the ball 15, 20 times plus, so I think you're looking at that. We got the Bucks at the Packers. We talked about that game earlier. Chiefs at the Jets. Why don't we do 30 seconds on that? Can the Chiefs bounce back offensively and finally get this ball moving again for Kareem Hunt?
Well, they better. I mean, they better, because if not, it seems going to go really slip away from them real quick. Kareem Hunt, I mean, Jets have done actually pretty well against, as far as fantasy is concerned, against running backs. Yes, so I don't see Hunt. Bottom line with Hunt is this. He's not a must-start anymore. I'm not saying he's a must-sit, but he's not a must-start. Comes down to roster construction here. Alex Smith has gone back to his Alex Smith ways. He's very conservative. No deep passes. Teams are taking Tyreek Hill away, making sure he can't make the big play. You know, there's some issues with the Kansas City offense. Here, not loving anybody this week with the exception of Travis Kelce, who I love every week.
And Sharkhandrick West had been eating into some snaps for Kareem Hunt, but he's out this week. So, like you said, you're not doing it with confidence, but you're playing Hunt, you're playing Kelce. The Alex Smith thing is so perplexing. On fire and then back to the old ways. Come back, we'll wrap up the show after this. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, we're back to close out the show. We're going to get your Survivor pool pick in a minute, George. But my friend Robin from Tampa has been hitting me up with questions this week. She's got a very tough, like a win it in kind of playoff scenario here, as do many, many people. Would you start Joe Mixon over Duke Johnson? It is a PPR league. So she's concerned about Mixon. Our numbers through Daily Roto, I go to those projections, have Mixon over Duke this week. I think it's really based on volume because the Chargers are susceptible to giving up a lot of passes to opposing running backs. I thought it was kind of a close call. I initially was shading towards Duke, but I think Mixon might just see more volume. What do you think?
Yeah, one thing about Cincinnati, they've gone away with this stupid thing where they weren't giving Mixon the ball enough in the first half of the season. Remember, we were complaining about that over and over again. So they've finally gone away from that. Yeah, it's about time. Really, it was silly. It was just silly what they were doing early on. I have Mixon ranked higher than Duke as well, but it's pretty close. They're in the same tier. So you could go either way here. It's probably once again going to be touchdown dependent, and I do think Mixon has a better chance of getting a touchdown.
I think according to Fantasy Pros, the aggregate ranking site, it's like Mixon at 17 and Johnson at 20. Like, that's to your point about it being the same tier. It's real close. I'm going to say Mixon as well. Yeah, they have Mixon as now at 15, Johnson at 21. So it's the gap has spread a little bit, but needless to say, that's where we're at. Her other question is, she's texting me during the show, which I love that her and Sean listen every week. She has Cam over Ben this week. Are you good with that?
Trusting Cam is always an issue. Yeah, it always is, but it's Ben on the road. So, yes, I'm good with that. If Ben was at home, I'd feel completely different. I'd probably have Ben over Cam. But on the road, no, I'm not playing that game anymore. I'll take Cam.
Yeah, Fantasy Pros has Cam at 6 and Ben at 9. I think that's appropriate, so I'll go with that. So, George, we'll close out the show by getting your Survivor Pool pick. And pick somebody off the radar a little bit, because I feel like we talk about the Pats and the Eagles every week. It's my fault for not tracking it, but it is what it is. Let's try and have some fun with it. Pick somebody that you may not have thought of earlier this year.
Well, when in doubt, pick against Cleveland. give me the LA Chargers. It's pretty much the way I go here. New England, if you had them available, would be the pick. I wouldn't touch the Philadelphia Seattle game, even if I had Philadelphia
either.
Available. Yeah, there's a chance. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Seattle wins that game. But for me, if you want to go off the wall here, I shouldn't even say off the wall, but I'll go with Chargers. They're playing hot, playing Cleveland. I don't see Cleveland getting their first win on the road in LA this week. If you wanted to find a third choice, right? If you want to find a third choice, though, it would not be easy. I mean, you look at all those games, whatever game can you say you know his team's going to win? I don't think there's one out there.
Yeah, if you the Raiders are probably available to you because I don't know that you've picked them with confidence in a different week, but I think you could do that. If people think that the Rams are going to roll over Blaine Gabbert, you could do that. I don't feel that way.
Raiders would be the choice, by the way.
Yeah, the Raiders are in there.
It's
Raiders
Geno Smith crying out loud.
That AFC West has been so weird this year, right? I stayed away from it on my over-under picks because I was having a hard time figuring it out. The Broncos are worse than I expected. The Raiders are too, but they still might get to like an 8-8 this year. The Chiefs and Chargers could battle it out in a couple of weeks to win the division at 9-7. It's been a really weird year in the AFC West, and I think you're going to see some more movement there before all is said and done. But that's it. How do you feel about you? So how many leagues are you in this year, George? How many playoffs do you think you're going to make?
I'm going to make playoffs. It looks like about 60% of my leagues. Before we go, though, it is my oldest daughter, Dakota Rose's birthday this weekend. So happy birthday, Dakota Rose. She turns 11 tomorrow.
And I will say happy birthday to my son, Owen. He turned 5 this week. His birthday party is today. Going to be a big day. Pizza, ice cream, cake. What's better than that? Good luck getting into your playoffs, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.